Welcome to the Rethinking Learning Podcast. I'm Barbara Bray. This is where I have conversations with awesome educators, leaders, and change agents about their passion to transform teaching and learning. This is Barbara Bray, and I'm here today with Joy Kerr.
Hello, hi, Barbara. Joy. Hello there.
I'm so glad you're here with me. Before I start, I want to just tell a little bit about you. So, Joy is a middle school teacher, an author, and I have her book right here with a lot of post-it notes. She's also a speaker, and so I'm going to have to follow you and be in the audience.
That's not my favorite thing.
Oh, it's not? Well, you're really good, though. I've heard you before. So, you're sixth grade ELA. I was in language arts, social studies.
Oh, good.
That's what we had out here. Mm-hmm. You're working to improve their lives through student-directed learning.
Yes.
You know, that's my thing, right?
It's all about the students. That's why we're there.
Yep. That's good. And you said something like without marks throughout the year.
Yeah, we're not having grades until the quarter end. So then we have, then I sit one-on-one with students and we make a grade together.
Ooh, we're going to talk about this. So I read your book, Shift This, and then I wanted to reach out to you to talk to you about it because I just love it. So welcome, Joy.
Thank you for having me. I'm glad you like it.
Oh, I love it. I, you know, love to hear about your family and about you and where you live and everything about, a little bit about you.
Well, my extended family is huge, but my personal family is just my sister and I and my parents, and now I'm married. This is my second husband, and he's the one, and he gives me all the support I need along with my family. A little bit of background is I was a special ed teacher first with deaf and hard of hearing students for 7 years, and all my students had trouble with reading. So I went to get my reading specialist as a master's, and then we ended up moving. And so with the move came a new job, and I just landed this one that I have now. I was a reading specialist here at school for 7 years first, and now I've been 7th grade ELA since 2009, I believe. So I keep changing because I need the changes in my life, and I just go after what I feel like my heart needs. And so far, I've been so very fortunate, and things have landed in my lap, and I feel like I am where I belong.
So you said you were a deaf and hard of hearing teacher. Do you sign?
I am really rusty, but sometimes if I'm singing or, you know, if we've been out for a while and people can't hear me, then I start to sign. But yeah, I'm pretty rusty. I can teach the kids a couple of things, you know, because they don't know anything, but I don't know if I could carry on a conversation anymore. It's been a while. I know.
I grew up with a family next door in Maryland that was all deaf, and we all had to learn how to sign. I can't do it now, but
no, right?
I know, you know, the alphabet and a few things.
Right, but and I can tell him to go slower, please.
Oh, that's great. Sometimes you have to use signs to get their attention.
Right.
So I love that. Well, that's really fun that you're, you know, a little bit about you, because I always like to know where you're from. Did you always live in Illinois?
Yes, I have not moved out of Illinois. I've been in the same area. In fact, my parents are 10 miles away.
Oh, you're lucky.
Yeah, we're right by that's O'Hare. Great. Yeah.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. Well, that's even lucky since you travel.
Yeah.
So tell me what it's like being a middle school teacher.
It's hectic. Today was a good day. It ended well. My last class, we had a soft lockdown today for some reason, so lunch was 10 minutes longer, which we never get. I don't know about the eighth graders. They didn't get to eat they got to eat 10 minutes less, you know, but my last class, they hung in there, they did their work, and we had normal conversations. It wasn't crazy. It was a normal, regular school day. And I feel like I was cheating somehow. So it worked out and I'm happy for it. I went home without a headache. It's all good.
Oh, well, I'm so glad you don't have a headache.
Right.
Today.
It's been rough because after Thanksgiving break, we had 4 more weeks before winter break. And normally we only have 3, so we're halfway through that part almost.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, in your book, you talk a lot about ways to get to know the kids. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, did you do anything different this year with your kids?
I've been trying to keep up with what I've already changed. So now I'm just trying to do that right now. I'm trying to get it better and better. And I'm working on my mental health this year. Like, I need to work a little bit more on that. So I've been going for more walks. Like, my coworker and I went for walks during the day a couple times now in the last week. And that's been really good for us. You know, just get out of the fluorescent light, get some fresh air. So yeah, I've been working towards that this year. So that's my change, if anything. It's just getting back to being mentally healthy again.
Wow. You know? Well, it is a balance.
Yes.
It's not easy.
No.
Because you tend to throw everything in and then you come home and you're still working. And
yes.
So that's good that you're doing that.
And, you know, I just got on Angela Watson's, not her 40-hour work week, but this five-day thing. And just listening to the one podcast she had about it, I haven't even looked at her other resources yet. I have started tracking how much I'm working at home. And that really stops me. After a certain point, I'm like, that's too much. I need to stop. So that's been good, just to even know how much I'm doing it. You know what I mean?
Maybe we need to do that with the kids, too, because we're going to talk about some of the things that you ask them to do, but kids work really hard too,
sometimes
there's no balance. They're rushing around and many of them, especially in middle school, a lot of times they're in extracurricular activities also. So it just it's a lot.
Exactly. Yeah.
Are you on other committees also, or?
This year I'm on a new one. I don't know how I got on it. But it's a new club they're running for students. It started at the high school. It's called Elevate, and it's about doing better for yourself, you know, mental health and physical health and organization and such. So we're trying to bring it to middle school. So we're dabbling in little things here and there. That's the only new one I'm on. We're going to start a book club next week with the kids who are interested, but I'm trying to keep it, you know, low key.
Well, actually, that sounds like it'll help you.
Yeah.
That Elevate sounds
right.
Like it'll be right, and maybe that's good because then you can model it
right. It's just reminders. Yeah
I like that. We need that. In fact, they're even doing mindfulness training and
yes.
You know, meditation and things
yes.
like that in school, because we tend to all be a little crazy
with
everything.
Exactly.
So you mentioned a little bit in your book and on social media a lot about Genius Hour.
Mm-hmm.
How do you do that? How do you work that
Right now, I'm not doing it. And everybody's like, what? And it's okay. I've come to realize that it's okay because when I did it, it changed everything else I was doing. So now I feel like I'm where I should be, where the kids have all this choice all the time. And they have a lot of voice in our classroom right now. And if they want to go further and change the world, they have the opportunity right now. We just haven't called it anything. We're doing ELA, we're reading and we're writing, but it's not all their choice. You know, I obviously still have plans that I have to put in, but every time we read, they get to read what they want. Every time we write, there is so much choice there. Right now we're writing a biography, but they can write about anybody. You know, it's just everything's wide open. And then going further from there, that'll be the next step. But it's only December, so I'm still kind of treading like, okay, who is going to want to jump into the next step? It's also okay because my co-teacher, right, not co-teacher, but she teaches next door to me. She's new to seventh grade and she's never done Genius Hour. And we just had a pilot that just ended or will end this week. So everything's new for her and I can't put her through that, you know?
I agree with what you're doing. I feel like it's more than an hour. If you can build it into your class and it's
right.
all the time and
right.
they have the choice and the voice and how they learn.
Yeah.
What we want.
Last year it was tough for me to think, oh my gosh, I didn't do it till the fourth quarter and only a couple kids jumped in. And I thought that's okay. Cause I'm looking at why I did it and I'm hitting the reasons why. So I'm okay with that. You know, I've come to realize, yes, I can still be a Genius Hour evangelist and still get other people to jump on and learn what I've learned and then implement it throughout.
So maybe it's a stepping stone. Maybe for people that are still new, maybe that's the way they do it.
Right.
You know, to get voice and choice and have kids have some ownership. So is that what led you, you know, when you started giving up some control and letting them have more voice, is that when you started thinking about writing your book?
No, not at all. I didn't think about that till somebody asked me to write a book about Genius Hour, and I said, no, can't do it. It's been done by Galit and Don and Kevin and everybody, you know, everybody, and they're experts at it. I said, no, I don't want to do that. You know, I'm not an expert and I couldn't do it. And she said, well, then what would you write about? And I said, I'd write about what Genius Hour did for me. And it did all those other things in the book. And she goes, no, not for us. I'm like, well, I already told my kids about it, you know, my students. I'm like, oh, this lady contacted me, you know, it's publisher. And they said, Mrs. Kerr, if it's important to you, you need to write it. That's what you tell us. I'm like, okay. So they checked in with me, you know, what did you write this week? I'm like, oh, nothing. And then they checked in with me again. And so I said, well, you know what? I can do a little bit on homework. I can do a little bit on grading. And so then I did put it all together. And I'm like, look at that. I think I'm writing a book. And that was kind of neat, you know, and I didn't plan on doing it for that reason. It just came because I thought, yeah, look at what we've done because of Genius Hour.
Well, being a teacher and also taking some risks like you're doing, it really is nice that you chronicled it. You kind of wrote, it's almost like I don't want to say it's a memoir, but it's like your story of how you did it.
I think so too. Yeah.
Yeah. And I love that you referenced other people and you also referenced the kids.
Oh, there's so many people that have helped you on your journey, you know? Is there so many people who have made you who you are? Yeah.
I'm doing this podcast because of that.
Yeah.
It's my way of giving back and finding people who have really changed my life. And also, you know, when you write a book, because I've written 2 books.
Right.
But I have to say, it's a lot of work. But if you do it about something you love,
then it's not.
It's not. It's exciting.
It's a hobby.
I know. Well, I don't know about a hobby, but it is wonderful when you have your kids and they are part of this with you. Yeah. I think that is just, you know, and I love middle school kids.
Right.
They all really signed
my book last year too. They all signed it when I brought it to school. I said, by the way, I got it done. They're like, no, you didn't. I said, yes. And you all have to sign it. So I've got one copy at school with all their signatures in it from May. Yeah. That was sweet.
Oh, that is so special. Don't let anything ever happen to that book.
Right, right. That's the one we keep in the classroom. Some of the kids don't even know this year that I wrote it. So
really?
I know I'm still writing alongside with them. Yeah, we just had one the other day. He's like, he said, oh, he saw I had a little vinyl decal that says shift this on my computer. He goes, Miss Kerr, what's shift this? You know, he's new to English. And I said, oh, you don't know, you don't know. So I went and got him the book. He goes, no. I'm like, yeah. So that's neat too, you know,
it. Keep
it under wraps and then surprise him.
Well, they especially the ones that were there with you on the journey.
Yes, yes.
That they're probably really proud because they saw how you, you know, you gave them feedback and they gave you feedback.
Right.
It's really wonderful.
Right. And we can talk about editing, and that's awesome too in an ELA class. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure. Did you share anything to ask for them?
Well, we talked about getting feedback because they always get feedback from me, but they have a hard time getting feedback from each other. And I said, well, how would you like it if some woman you didn't even ever met, you don't know how old she is, what kind of schooling she is or anything, edited your paper? They're like, oh, I said, yes, I have this woman. I don't know who she is. She's editing my book and I'm listening to her and I can take some of the feedback or I can not take it. And it's my choice because it's my writing. And they're like, oh, it was so eye-opening and it was such an aha moment. And it was a beautiful lesson. So I have to use that every year now.
Oh, I love that. And
and
you never know, you probably have some writers.
Right. Oh, we sure do.
Because I really didn't know that in 7th grade myself.
Right.
I didn't have an author right there. You know, that
but
did
you
that.
Give them the choices. There comes with the choices. They don't need the author. They have the choices. I have a student who's writing she's on page 25 right now of her story. All because at the beginning of the year, you can either write a narrative or a creative story or a mix. And she's like, I know what I'm going to write. And she's been going with it. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Right.
Well, that'd be wonderful.
That's
would
the
she
choice.
Want, would she open up and have other kids edit it?
She
or
has.
Give her feedback?
She has. She shared the document with me again because she revised a bit. She's like, can you check it again? Yeah, yeah. And she has comments on the side from friends and they're great. Oh my gosh, they're so helpful. Like one of them said, his nose looks like a book. And her friend says, this is a bit concerning. I'm like, that's great. I think she meant his nose is always in a book, you know? But it was great.
Oh, that's cute.
Yes.
That's really very clever that the editor
her friend did that for her. Yeah.
Oh, I really like that. This is really a great way. And so you wrote a whole thing. In fact, the title is all about shifting this, how to implement gradual changes. Why gradual changes? I mean, what do you, it'd be fun to go over a few things, but what is the overview?
Well, people get scared of genius hour because it's huge. You know, it's this hour of time that you're giving up to the kids and you're really giving it over to the kids, but they don't always see it like that. And they say, no, that's too much. So I took I jumped in the pool, and you don't have to jump in the pool, right? You can dip your toe in. So I had jumped in, and then I thought, well, look at all the little things I've changed because of it. So that's where I took the gradual pieces that, well, you don't have to jump in. You can do this piece, and then maybe try this piece, you know, and the water gets, you get used to the water as you're in it. So there are no water analogies in the book. I just thought of that now. But it's like, you know, people are scared to jump all in. And so just know that, no, it's your journey and you take it how you can. And if you can't handle the jumping in, don't, you know, because that's not going to make your year any better or the kids' year any better. You have to do what works for you and them.
Well, it's nice because you give some ideas and you have a lot of questions, which I like because, in fact, I wanted to ask about some of them and I'm going to do them in a different order than I told you I was going to do because... You talked about shifting the learning spaces. Mm-hmm. So how did you, I have a lot of people that I've talked to that have done a lot on shifting the learning spaces. And I just talked to someone yesterday who talked about making all the spaces the same, but that way they're more comfortable because they know what is happening in the specific space. And that's the first time I've heard anyone say that.
It makes sense.
It'll be interesting because I'm going to go visit now because I want to see it. because it's having a quiet area, having an area for presentations, the creation area. You might have maker spaces. You might have a whole bunch of things. But if they're always in every class like that, maybe it makes it easier for kids, especially secondary kids when they're moving from class to class.
Right. And easier on the teachers when they're moving from class to class too.
Yeah, I never thought of that. That was Travis Leap from South Dakota. But I do think the idea of making the spaces, I always get the kids involved.
Right.
You know, I want them to be. So how do you shift? What did you do when you first started doing that?
Well, when I first started my own version of Genius Hour, it was more read what you want to read and then share with the class. And then they said, well, can we research this and this? Yeah, well, then we need the computers. Okay, that was when we had to take the carts out, you know. So we got the carts on Mondays, and they would hide in their own corners to research. You know, they would go under the tables, or two girls would be in this part here, or someone would Skype with Jen Smith across the tracks, and they'd ask her questions to help them out with some tool. And it was neat to see them all just go where they wanted. And they didn't ask, and I didn't tell them they couldn't. And I'm like, look at this. And I just looked around and said, what are they doing? You know, and it was fine, you know, and everybody was working. So that was okay. So that was the first one. And then I went to Boston. My district sent me to Boston to the Building Learning Communities Conference in July. And someone said, you know, I think it was my district coordinator said something like, we want to support you in trying new things. So let us know what you need. So I looked at my principal and I said, I want wheels on the tables. Because we've got these huge tables. They're 5 feet long by 2.5 feet deep or something. And they're so heavy to move. So I want wheels on the tables. And I thought it wouldn't happen. And sure enough, the next fall, there are these casters on the bottom of my tables. I'm like, look at this. All the other teachers got really mad, though, because when they came in, they'd lean on it and it would move, you know? And all the other tables and all the other rooms don't move. And they're like, what is this? And they're falling. I'm like, sorry. We're moving our tables every now and then. So now we have about 20 different seating arrangements we could do. And so sometimes I let the kids choose what arrangement to do next. Sometimes I feel like the day before winter break this year, I'm going to give them the measurements of everything because we have two different tables in there now that I sort of swapped out four of my tables for two smaller tables from the library when they were getting new furniture. And I want the kids to arrange it now and say, what do you think? Because with these two new tables, I don't know how things are going to fit. So my husband, what he did is he made it all he made little versions of it, you know, like a little dollhouse of it that were all measured correctly so I can move them around.
Oh, clever.
Right. So I want to make copies of those and give them to the kids and make them have a challenge. And then maybe we can try some of their arrangements. You know, a lot of times they get to choose where they sit and how they sit or what works best for them. And they just feel like it's their home. And that's the way I want it. You know, where do you want to sit today? Just go for it. And if there's a problem, then yeah, then we address it. But most of the time, there isn't a big problem.
But you have different groups, different classes, don't you?
I have three different classes. I have nice big blocks. Yeah, 80-minute blocks.
Oh, you do? That's wonderful.
It's beautiful. Yes. It's a dream.
Oh, that's really nice.
I really get to know the kids, too.
Oh, I bet. Yeah. That's the best way. Yeah. Do you also have it so if they move the furniture the other period, the other block, are they okay?
Usually we put it back. If they move it for just their one thing, then we put it back. And if we have a few special chairs, if they've taken one of the blue plastic ones away and put in that special chair, then they have to move that back too. So I try and make them accountable for that. Sometimes it slips up and that's okay. You know, the other kids are very flexible and adaptable. It's all fine. Yeah.
Oh, well, it sounds like everyone gets to know each other too, the way you're doing that, which is really great. So you talked about the shift to student-centered learning. Have you always been doing student-centered, do you feel?
No. When I was teaching deaf and hard of hearing, though, this was an aha moment I had for myself in September. I was going to a healthy grading and assessment committee thing, and I was going to present there a little activity, and I thought, you know what? When my first 7 years of teaching, I didn't use grades because I had goals. I had IEP goals. And once we met the goals, we changed the goal. And the kids still worked. You know, they worked without grades or badges or points or anything. And I made it relevant to them. I make it work for them. And that's what happens. And then as my reading specialist role came around, 7 more years, I went without grades. You know, I mean, we worked on goals. I went into classrooms and I talked about how to read the textbook. And we did that without grades and points and everything. And that was a realization to me. I'm like, wow, I used to do this. You know, I can do this again. And so, but when I went into the regular classroom, it was such a change for me because it was my own room. You know, I can decorate. I can grade. I can do all these things. I was at home. I know I marked up every single grammar worksheet that we did. I marked up everything, you know, and then they were all, you know, going for the points. Well, if I do this, can I get 2 more points? If I do this, can I get the A-? If I do this, and I was like, oh, and I hated the talk. And then when we started Genius Hour, we didn't have grades with that because I didn't know how to grade that. I had an iPad Pilot. We didn't have grades with that because there was too much that we were doing and there was no way I could keep up with that and the Pilot. And so I'm like, these kids will work without it. What else can we not grade? You know, save me some time, save them some angst. And so we just kept taking more and more out until finally I said, you know what? I'm just going to try the feedback and see what happens. And it was harder on the parents than it was on the students. And I think it's still harder on the parents than it is on the students.
So how do they know, you know, is assessment different then? Because I'm so against grades and love that you're doing this. But how are they saying where they are at the end of, you know, end of a quarter, end of a...
Yeah, well, we look back at the proof. I do put all of the feedback in the online gradebook. So the parents see my narrative feedback. And we do have a comprehension check every week, which we call comprehension checks. And the kids don't know that they're quizzes, you know, but it's what did you understand? And so we work on literal and inferential questions and say it's 4 questions. And I'd say 2 out of 2 literal questions and 1 out of 2 inferential questions. And it'll be written narratively in their thing. And the first, they're like, well, that's a 75%. I said, is it? Because look, you got 2 out of 2 literal and 1 out of 2. What did you do wrong on this? And then we start working on where can we improve? Where can we improve? And so then they stop looking at the narrative numbers. But halfway through, we had to do midterms this week. And I said, okay, what would be your average right now? And how can you improve that? But you said the most recent evidence. Yes, I still say the most recent evidence. So we will have more before the quarter ends, you know, but that doesn't mean we can't learn before then. And so they know that I'll replace the old with the new, and they know that they have to work towards it. I had one student this year at open house. The mom said, this is the first year my child said, this is the first year, mom, I'm not going to get an A in ELA. And she said, why? And she said, because I'm going to have to learn something. I'm like, oh, I am so excited. I know.
You got to put that up on Twitter.
I do. I got to write a blog post. Isn't that great? And she is. And she's working her little tail off. You know, and I can see that she's revising the pieces and she's changing her strategies for the comprehension checks. I'm like, okay, awesome. Yes.
It's all about them owning it. It's not for an A.
Right.
That's what, it just drives me nuts. These kids get A's and then they get out of college, I mean, out of high school, and they don't know what.
Right.
They're so used to people telling them what to do. Here
they can
now,
play that school game. They know how to play the game.
Yeah. And well, now that you're doing this, do you notice other teachers are starting to also?
You're funny.
You knew I was going to ask
you're
that, right?
You're funny. No, the woman I do work with really closely, my co-teacher is on board for ELA class, for the one class I have her in. And she has stopped grading homework for math. She has a math class. She stopped grading the homework. And then the other teacher that works alongside me, she sees the benefits and she can tell other people about the benefits. We had a parent who came in who was upset because it's not clear, you know, what my child's getting. And she was able to explain to him the benefits. And then when it was over, she goes, I know. You know what? And she said, I know, I should be doing it too, but it's so much work. I'm like, yeah, it is a lot of work. I'm working more now than I was before with grades. It's easy to put a number in. Just put the number in, you know? But to think of the feedback to give the child for each one I'm putting in, that is a bit, yeah.
Well, I didn't mean to ask you. I know I put you on the spot there. But it really is hard for some teachers to really let go.
Yeah.
But it's nice that you put it all in your book, so it's kind of nice if they'll...
And really, I don't take the time at school to explain it to other teachers because we're working with the students. I have too much to do with the students, and I'm not going to take that time unless they ask for it, you know?
Well, I just love it that... Okay, so I got to talk about homework.
Okay. I'm good with this one. So, go for it.
Yeah, that's a good one. I also interviewed Star.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, Staxteen. And so we had a long talk about homework also. And really, it's so hard for me to watch when kids, especially young ones, they're working on a worksheet. Mm-hmm. And it really has nothing to do with what they really need.
Right.
So how did you move from to no homework? I mean, do they have anything that they're doing at home that's different now?
Well, they're reading 20 minutes a day, hopefully. Perfect. And I do check in with them and I check their books. Okay, well, you didn't read this week. Nope. You know, and they're pretty honest with me. You know, we have good relationships. So I can put that in the grade book too. I can put narrative notes in there. But I think what started me on that track was I had a kid named Eric, and it was years ago. And he knew he was really good in every class except for the homework. He never got in his homework. And yet when the tests would come, he would get A's, you know? And I thought, you know what? This kid doesn't need homework. Why are we asking him to bring it in? You know, why do we even care? Oh, a teacher's responsibility. Oh, you know, he needs to learn how to balance his time. Oh, he needs to learn how to prioritize. Yeah, but as mom said, she gave this great example of when he was selling popcorn for Boy Scouts. He wanted to make money. He was very organized. He had it all laid on the floor. He had it all put in folders. He knew what he needed from what. I know from whom. He knew where the money should be coming from, how much he wanted. He knew his goals and he got it done. And he was the best popcorn seller of the troop, you know? And so I'm like, hey, responsibility, priorities, you know, organization. He's got it when he wants it. He's trying to do our bidding. You know, I mean, we're trying to have him do our bidding and it's not working because it's not worth it to him. Mm. And that's what started me thinking about it. Like, what am I asking them to do? You know, and really, what's a word search? Those are the ones that kill me the most. And my mom, I remember in first grade, she hated it when I had to spell my words backwards. You know, for spelling, we had to spell them backwards. Gosh. And that stuck in my head too. I'm like, yeah, why did we do that? I don't know. And I don't know a lot of the whys. And a lot of our kids don't know the whys, you know? So when you give them the why, reading is valuable, you know, and you give it to them day in and day out or week in and week out, maybe they'll catch on that they should be reading at home, and maybe it'll make it more relevant, and maybe they'll figure it out. And you give them time in class too. That's another thing. You have to give them some time in class so they get hooked, so they want to do it outside of class. Or if you're giving challenges outside of class, make it relevant to your curriculum, but don't put points on it, you know?
Reading is so beautiful if they
if
they have the opportunity and if they love it,
right?
Just it opens the world to them,
right? And
that's why, I think this is great if we could get more teachers to let go of some of these. I have to watch what I'm going to say.
I met a guy on Twitter Wednesday night. He said he doesn't trust the gurus. And he was talking about people that I highly respect, you know, Rick Wormelli, Ken O'Connor. I'm like, what do you mean? And I noticed on his thing, it said he'd been teaching since 1985. So maybe it was time for him to retire. Maybe he was done with it. But he's like, I teach what works. I'm like, but how do you know what works if you're not trying different things? You know, just try
it. And the kids are a lot different than 1985. I've seen this because I work with teachers all over, and it is hard to change.
Yes.
But it is nice. Isn't learning all about change? I mean,
yes.
Really.
And shouldn't we want to continue learning as teachers? You know, once we stop learning, I think we need to get out of the classroom. I don't know.
Well, you have, and we might have to end pretty soon. I could go on and on forever. You have one piece in here all about Twitter, and that's how I've met everybody almost,
right,
is on Twitter.
Right.
And you said, one thing you said is that it's like a teacher lounge.
Yeah, without the complaining.
That's right. Well, except you might meet some people that are.
You might.
You
but
might.
Then you just don't talk to them anymore. You know, you can walk out of that room. But yeah,
it's full
of people that you can talk to like this for hours.
Yeah, I know.
Ideas.
And
yeah.
And that's what I love. I love about social media is I met you online. I said, oh, I love this lady. I got to talk to her. I got to get her book. I got your book. I need to talk to you even more. And that's what happens, is that you finally get to meet someone face-to-face, or you meet them like we are doing in a podcast, which is really wonderful.
Right. And now if we met, haven't you ever had those people though too, right away when you were on Twitter and you met them face-to-face and you just hugged them? Like I know you.
Oh yeah, I've met so many people that come up to me and they'll just start talking like they know me forever. And I
right.
I really don't know. I know your name, but you have a picture of a cat up there.
Yes, exactly.
So yeah, it's really fun.
You can make it personal. It can be personal. It's not about Justin Bieber. Yep.
Oh, and you had that in your book too.
It's so true.
Well, I love this conversation. This has been really joyful, and I'm probably going to bring you back again another time because I love how you're so easy to talk to.
Well, it's very nerve-wracking, I'll tell you that. And that's the presenting, too. When you said something about presenting, I'm like, oh, my gosh. It's nerve-wracking until I finally just start. You know, once you start talking, then you go with your passion. But until then, I'd rather be in front of the kids, you know?
Well, I'm so glad you were okay about taking some time because you're just, I want to say lovely. I think you're just great. And we'll be putting a blog post together about this.
Okay.
So, and with all the pictures, but is there anything that I forgot to mention that you want to?
No, it is hard to shift, and don't shift everything all at once. You know, just do a little bit and then do a little bit more. Yeah. And do what works for you. And those questions, like you were saying, the book is full of questions. Keep asking those questions to yourself and to others, and just keep that conversation going. And that's it. Like we are now, just keep asking and keep digging for more, because that's where you learn. And that's when you want to change, you know?
Oh, I love it. That's why I like your title. Shift this. Gradual changes for massive impact in your classroom.
Yeah. I wanted a Mustang on the front, but you know.
Love Mustangs. This is cool though. Maybe your next book.
Good.
Right?
Okay, sure.
Thank you so much, Joy.
Thanks
this
for
was
making
wonderful.
It so lovely, Barbara. Thank you.
Oh, it was fun.
Good.
Thank you everyone for joining me today with Joy Kerr. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you. Take care.
You too. Hey, thank you for listening to the Rethinking Learning podcast and my conversation with Joy Kerr. Make sure you visit BarbaraBray.net to learn more about Joy, who is known as the Genius Hour Evangelist, wrote the book Shift This, and all the things she does about her passion around students owning their learning. Look for a complimentary blog post with resources and links where you can leave a comment for Joy. You see, these conversations are all part of a bigger picture to transform education. I invite you to leave a review on iTunes and share or retweet the post on Twitter using the hashtag Rethink_learning. So please subscribe to the podcast and the website at BarbaraBray.net so you can join the conversations.